Today's podcast is brought to you by my book, The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. The Sex Spiral will teach you God's design for sexuality, the triggers that lead to porn addiction, and how to exit the sex spiral with a purity plan for your life. You can order online at Amazon.com or any other retailer. Hey, thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy today's show. Welcome to the Dustin Daniels Show, a radio program dedicated to bridging the gap between pornography and the church pew. A radio broadcast devoted to exposing the lie that's in pornography and instead pursuing purity that's only found in Jesus. I am your host, a redeemed sex addict and now pastor, to those who truly want help with sexual brokenness. You know, I chased that lie, this porn lie, the sex lie, the adultery lie for over 20 years. And it's only by the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of Almighty God that you can hear my voice and that this radio show even exists. What is my job, you ask? Well, it's to simply start that conversation. You know, the conversation that very, very few people actually want to start. Because if you haven't noticed, we've got a problem with pornography. I mean, stats, they never really tell the whole story. And once again, I can share with you that 50% of Christian men are addicted to pornography. And some stats are now saying 60% of Christian men. And these are men who proclaim the name of Jesus. They don't have just a problem with porn. They're addicted to it. In other words, they can't live without it. 20% of women. And once again, stats are now saying 30% of women are addicted to porn. So what I'm here to do is start this conversation about pornography. Now, this is not a rated R show. So you as a father and as a mother and as a family can talk about this issue. And if you're a pastor, if you're a business owner, or maybe you're a student, look, it doesn't matter what you do for a living. Pornography has no demographics. It affects everyone and everything. So look, why don't we just do this? Why don't we put a face on those statistics? I mean, after all, those are not lifeless random numbers. Right? I mean, those are people made in the very image of Almighty God. But yet, for whatever reason, they tend to believe a lie. And there are many, many lies that we believe, especially when it comes to sexual brokenness. But the lie that a lot of us believe is that sex is our greatest need. Or maybe that we'll never change. God made me this way, so I'm never going to change. Or maybe that I've sinned so bad, my sin is so great, that God would never forgive me. And see, here's the beautiful thing. We are not the end result of our choices or our behaviors. Our identity is not in the sin, it's in our Savior. And if you are listening now and you need some help, let me encourage you to visit sevenplaces.org. You want to spell out the number seven, S-E-V-E-N, places.org. Jump on there. There's an online community. It's absolutely free, absolutely secure. You can remain anonymous. But there are seven places, pastors and biblical counselors that can help you and ask questions. And that is a great start. Another great start is to look at the video blogs and the other audio pieces that are on there. Now, for those of you who think maybe I'm throwing stones here, let me just encourage you and say one last thing, because, you know, unfortunately, I didn't learn this stuff from a book. I lived it. And my job is now to share with you all of my stupid stories over 20 years of being an addict. And one of them is that porn is a liar. She never satisfies. So we've got two goals If you need help, if you're looking for help, if you want to start this conversation, we want to help you. And the second thing we want to do is prepare pastors. We want to provide answers and show them how to handle this crisis that we find in our church right now. So, to help start this conversation, today we have Caleb Mitchell. Caleb, welcome.
Thank you.
Caleb, you are a licensed therapist. You are a published writer. You are a therapist with Doorways Counseling, and Doorways specializes in counseling adolescents and young adults, along with, you're going to have to help me.
Socorro
Counseling, your own private practice. And you do a lot of different things, but you also specialize in sexual addiction and sexual identity. So welcome to the program. Today we're going to talk about how to start the conversation with your children. Because if we don't know how to start this conversation with our kids, then we're in big trouble. And at the end of the day, our kids are talking about this stuff, whether we want them to talk about it or not. So welcome to the program. Before we dive in, tell us a little bit about you and your family. Where'd you grow up?
Yeah, I grew up in the South, Bible Belt. Was supposed to be, perfect pastor's son.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect. Didn't do that so well. Have two kids now, counselor here in the city. I'm a counselor mainly because counseling saved my life. When I was in seminary, I was wrestling with a lot of who I was and had a lot of brokenness in my heart and life. And sitting down with someone and just talking it out was what really saved me from my trying to deal with everything on my own.
Right.
Which I was horribly failing at on my own.
Isn't that a good realization, though?
Yeah. I talked with a teenager the other day, and we were talking about trying to do life on our own. And I actually made the correlation between that and masturbation, because that's what masturbation really is oftentimes. And looking at pornography and
sure.
those two things together
sure.
is an attempt to try and deal with our life on our own. And that's not how God's made our sexuality. Our sexuality is really about two people coming together and learning what it's like to be naked with one another without shame. And that kind of bond that's created.
Now, you heard the statistics at the very, very beginning of the show. And as a counselor and as a therapist, someone who's dealing with this stuff day in, day out, give the parents an idea of what the kids are wrestling with right now.
Yeah, I think adolescence today is nowhere near what adolescence was 10 years ago. And a lot of that has to do with technology because, 10 years ago, we didn't have computers in our pockets. We didn't have internet access all over the place. And so we didn't have social media. And so you have adolescents who are always plugged in.
Right.
They're always connected with each other. And they're always connected with the internet and the information that they can get on the internet. And so those statistics make a lot of sense to me because the access there is not just a lot of it, but it's continual. 24 hours a day, there is access to this kind of thing. And so I think that the conversation today has to be really different because it is something that is definitely going to happen. It's not something that might happen. Our kids are going to be in front of this kind of stuff.
93% of boys and 62% of girls have been exposed to internet pornography before the age of 18.
Right. And one of the other statistics is, you said that only 3% of boys and 17% of girls under the age of 18 have never seen online porn. Now, I'm not really good at math.
Right.
But if you have 93% of the boys who've been exposed to internet pornography before the age of 18, and then you have 3% that have not, 93 plus 3 equals 96%. So I think there's 4% loss there. So you've got at least 97% and maybe 3% who are lying.
Well, and that's always that's the other thing, right? I mean, and that's where we want to go with this conversation, because we can talk about all the behavior stuff all day long, Caleb, but it's the relationship that we have to have with our kids to want them to realize, look, what I'm telling you, son, is that if you do this, it's not because I want to be a killjoy here. It's because you're going to hurt yourself. And, you know, any of us that are breathing and living have experienced pornography in one way or another. So it is about the relationship. We're going to focus in on that through our conversation. But absolutely, we've got an epidemic. And what are some of the things that you can suggest right from the very start to actually start this conversation with our kids?
Well, I think first off, you have to know who you're having the conversation with. You're having a conversation with an adolescent whose brain is reshaping itself. So we talk about the organization of a brain at the ages between 0 and 3, and it's going through all of these changes as the axons are getting these myelin sheaths and creating pathways and synapses. Well, another large organization happens with an adolescent who's from about 12 to what we now believe is about to 25. That's,
wow,
that's usually what psychologists see adolescent,
okay,
time period is. And what's so interesting about that is that, you know, you think of an adolescent and their bodies are just kind of gawky.
Right.
Well, they're also kind of their neurons are kind of gawky. So their ability to think and make wise choices is gawky.
Right.
So one moment you might go, this kid, he's got it. And the other moment you're like, where did he come up with this idea?
Sure.
And so you have a really kind of neural gawky person, but you also got a very risky person, which is really part of the glory of being an adolescent, is that they're able to take risk. Because they're in this stage where they're moving from childhood to adulthood, and you have to be able to take risks to grow and mature. But what comes the downside of that riskiness is that they don't think about long-term consequences.
Right.
And so part of realizing that you are having a conversation with someone who doesn't get long-term consequences, you shouldn't be frustrated when it doesn't seem like the first time you had this conversation that it clicks. And to realize that this is a continual conversation that has to happen over time. But it's all built on not what you say, not what you do, not how you say it or how you do it, but on your relationship with them and whether or not they know and trust and can rest in the fact that you love them no matter what.
Talking about long-term consequences, you know, I didn't get long-term consequences until I was about 35, you know?
Right.
So when you're talking about long-term consequences with what, at what age, 7, 8, 9 years old, there is no concept of that. And that's where the relationship with us as a mother and a father to come and surround them and be able to open up that dialogue is just so, so important. Now, for those of you who are going, look, guys, that's not my kid. That's my kid. He's got it all figured out. What would you say, Caleb?
That's why I'm kind of speechless, because the reality is that your kid is at least exposed to this kind of stuff. And they did it. And on top of that, your kid is trying to figure out how to live in this world, which means that he's going to try on a lot, or she is going to try on a lot of different things, which is supposed to happen. But when it gets into these kind of realms of pornography and sexuality, I would say that you go check their Facebook. Go listen to a conversation at school amongst their peers. And, you know, these kids aren't bad. These adolescents aren't evil.
Right.
You know,
right.
They're just trying to figure out how to do life. And they're getting all these messages on what will actually work, what will help them live and grow and live without pain and be cool. They did this study where they had it was a driving study, and the kids would drive in this kind of computerized game,
right,
down the street, and it had red lights, green lights. They did it with adolescents, and they did it with adults. And what they found is that the adolescents drove exactly the same as the adults, and that they were just as safe. And then they put another adolescent in the room with an adolescent, and they put another adult with the adult in the room.
Right.
The adult drove exactly the same way. The adolescent's riskiness shot through the roof.
Amazing.
Why? Because someone else was there, and they were trying to get the appreciation of the other person.
Sure.
And so you come to the third thing about an adolescent is that they're highly relational. And so they're going to do whatever that they can to make sure that they hold on to relationships that they have and build other relationships. And that includes being sexualized. I mean, that's why we have sexting. I don't know if you've heard of that term, but that's where the adolescents or adults, I mean, our football, NFL football players, are sending nude photos of themselves or provocative photos of themselves over text messaging. Why do they do that? Well, it's because they want some kind of relational response from the other person on the other end.
So much is at stake for our kids. I mean, we are engaged in a battle over the hearts and the minds of our children. And it is worth fighting for. It is worth starting this very, very uncomfortable discussion. Because if we don't start it, our kids are talking to the neighbor's kids. They're talking to the kids at school. They're talking to the kids on the softball, baseball, football field. And if they don't feel comfortable having that conversation, then we have to engage. Right, Caleb? So how do we start this? If I've never had this conversation with my boy, who's 8, 9 years old, the prime age for him to already have seen pornography, stats are saying that at that age, they have seen pornography for 30 minutes on a continuous basis already. How do I, as a father, go, hey, Johnny, okay, let's talk about this?
You know, I think, one, you start talking about his sexuality. And you start talking about who he is as a sexual being. I think, you know, a lot of times we as parents, I know that I do this pretty often. I'm pretty quick at just saying, no, don't do that.
Right.
And I think part of the reality is that part of our son's glory is that he's a sexual being. That's the way God made him. And so to begin the conversation with the positives of his own sexuality, and then begin talking about how God has created his sexuality and how to use that sexuality towards the end of life, that which is life-giving versus that which is death and creates death in our own hearts. And I think part of it is just being honest about the confusion and being honest about even, you know, as myself as a dad, like being able to say, this is really difficult. Even your dad doesn't get it all.
Right.
And it's a wrestle for him.
And see, there's so much humility just in that, Caleb, to go, you know what? We need to have this conversation. I don't have all the answers, but let's just start it and see what God does. So there is safety in that relationship.
Right. And I think that's the model God has with us. You know, I mean, even in the midst of our brokenness, he isn't there coming, you know, crashing down on us.
Because what tends to happen, right, if we kind of get close to the conversation, it becomes really uncomfortable. And it's one of these things to where we go, okay, wait, you shouldn't do that and wait until you're married. Well, thanks, Dad. That clears up everything.
Yeah, there's this statement that kind of runs around in psychological circles that you can't take someone any further than you've gone yourself.
Amen.
And so the reality is that a lot of times I think we as parents we have our own struggles and we're afraid to actually open up that Pandora's box, because what it does is it just highlights the fact that we don't understand our own sexuality or that we're already struggling ourselves with a sexual sin. Or it's just something that we have been harmed in so much. Maybe there's been past abuse where you just want to completely avoid it. And
sure.
So, yeah, nothing opens you up more than being a parent. Because what you do is you start experiencing your kids, their own struggles with it, and it can't help but mirror your own.
Caleb Mitchell is on the program. He is a licensed therapist and published writer. We are discussing how to start this uncomfortable conversation, the porn conversation, with your children. And we were just talking about the age of which your kids are basically seeing porn. 70% of boys under the age of 18 have already spent 30 consecutive minutes watching porn. 35% of boys do this on a regular basis. So it's not that it has to be done at your home, but certainly at a friend's home. Or just like you said, Caleb, it's on our phones. It's on our tablets.
My 2-year-old knows how to open up my phone and go to the game that she likes to play. If she accidentally goes to the Pinterest app.
Yeah.
Even, I mean, I was amazed, you know, my wife does Pinterest. I kind of was like, oh, this is cool. I'll get some ideas for some woodworking stuff I want to get. But it's amazing the stuff that just pops up even on Pinterest.
Right.
So, you know, it's so easy for them to just even accidentally find this stuff innocently looking for their game on the iPhone.
So a few things on how to kind of avoid those accidental encounters. A few software programs that we recommend. Covenant Eyes. You can go to CovenantEyes.com. SafeEyes.com as well. These are filters that you can put on your cell phones, on your computers, on your tablets. And you basically get a report of everything that's going on. Now, once again, I can already hear the feedback and the kickback of, I don't want to micromanage my kids. I want to give them space. And here's the thing. If I think back to when I was 7 or 8 years old, and I remember the event to where I found my dad's porn stash, and he was downstairs, and I had just run amok. And I see this stuff, and I had no one to talk to. No one could explain to me what I was seeing, what I was feeling. And now we fast forward 30 years, 30 plus years. That is not the same material, Caleb, that these kids are now finding as far as it being so much more graphic. These are not quote unquote softcore porn images, if there is a term. This is degrading material. Can you speak on that?
Yeah. I think, well, there's a couple of things. One, because of social media, finding that kind of stuff and even creating that kind of stuff is a lot easier to do. And I think as adolescents who don't understand long-term effects, kind of mimicking this kind of stuff that they see is something that they don't understand the ramifications for. So, yeah, I think the issue is that you can find anything on the internet that you want to, and you can often find it by accident. And I think that that's the big key. And, you know, you have these sites that actually you can't find their actual identity. And so you put in something inane like third grade science fair project, and something comes up that's really graphic.
Right, right. You know, there's a quote here that I think is appropriate from the U.S. Department of Justice. And it reads, never before in the history of telecommunications in the United States has there been so much indecent and obscene material been so easily accessible for so many minors in so many American homes with so few restrictions. And look, guys, we love our kids. And standing up and starting this conversation is part of the battle. Caleb, we are out of time already. I'm going to ask you to stay with us, and we're going to continue this conversation on how to start this porn conversation with our children. You can visit 7places.org if you are struggling, if you need suggestions on how to start this conversation. There's an online community to where you can visit video blogs as well, and you can follow me on Twitter @PurityPastor. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Dustin Daniels Show. We pray that this radio program has helped you with the challenges that you are facing in your life. We are a listener-supported ministry. To make a donation or for resources that were mentioned on today's program, please visit Seven Places Ministry at sevenplaces.org. That's SEVEN places.org. The Dustin Daniels Show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering professional counseling advice that pertains to your personal situation. Since the details of your situation are fact-dependent, we suggest you seek the services of a competent, Christ-based counseling professional.